In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to begin this morning not with the gospel reading from Matthew, which was proclaimed just a few moments ago, but with a passage from the end of the parable of the sower and the seed. Mark chapter 4, verses 16 through 20, which I am about to read, was the focus of the Bible study held at Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, on this last Wednesday evening. These are the verses which a group of 12 people gathered to pray over and to discuss for an hour, just before 9 of them were killed by someone that they had welcomed, with whom they had shared their love of Christ. And so here's what they studied that night. And these, in like manner, are the ones sown upon rocky ground, who when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns, and they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown upon the good soil, they are the ones that hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. It's hard to hear these words and not immediately jump to the conclusion that here were 12 souls full of good soil. With love, they studied the words of Christ. With love, they welcomed a stranger. With love, they accepted crowns of martyrdom, for they died daring to offer Christ's love to another human being. And when struck upon the cheek, they offered him the other. And I don't have words this morning. I really don't. Like you, I have struggled to make sense of yet one more senseless act of brutality and hatred, an act of evil. We have enough to deal with in our own lives. Each of us is engaged in personal battles, each of us. And then something like this happens, and again that pit in our stomach grows bigger and heavier. And then there are the words which are given to us this morning in Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture is always a challenge, always a challenge. But given the events in Charleston this week, the words from Romans and from Matthew's Gospel to me are especially jarring. They're very, very challenging. At the Bible study on Wednesday evening in Charleston, the faithful of Emmanuel Church heard about the seeds that fall on those who have no root in themselves. These are the ones that are able to hear the word and to rejoice briefly, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away, says Christ. In his letter to the Romans this morning, as if he had the same parable in mind, the Apostle Paul uses this very same word, tribulation, same word. And he says, not only do we not fall away when tribulations arise, Paul says that we glory in tribulation. That's the King James Version that we heard today. We glory in tribulation. In the Revised Standard Version, it says, we rejoice in our sufferings. That's what Paul writes this morning. The heart full of good soil, like the 12 who were attacked in Charleston, they did not fall away when tribulations arose. Full of good soil, they gloried in those tribulations. The heart full of good soil, ready to receive the word, is the one who can say along with the Apostle Paul that we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings. Those are hard words. And so take those hard words from St. Paul and just hold them in your mind for a moment. Turning to St. Matthew's Gospel. There we hear our Lord assure his disciples that they are precious in the sight of his Father. And he says to them, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? The birds of the air and the lilies of the field are splendid in their array, and God loves you more than he loves those. In the same manner, he will give you everything you need. And Jesus ends by saying, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. They will also be given to you. It is a message of God's tender and loving providential care for us. And part of me, in all honesty this morning, wants to say, okay, God, which is it? Which is it? The words of Christ encourage me to have faith that God will provide whatever I need. But the words of the Apostle Paul emphasize the presence of suffering and tribulation. And in any case, from Charleston, we learn that if the hate is strong enough, then not even a Bible study at church is a safe place for those who love the Lord. As I said, I don't have any answers to these questions, and I don't even really want to give any, knowing that in time there will be another Charleston, South Carolina, another Newtown, Connecticut, Aurora, Colorado, Blacksburg, West Virginia, Fort Hood, Texas, and on and on and on. And that's just the last few years. Also knowing that each of us is in touch with suffering in our own families and among our friends, even within our own souls. I don't have any answers, but I do want to offer two words of comfort. I ask you to hold in mind those words of St. Paul who said, we rejoice in our sufferings. We glory in our tribulations. Specifically, he says that because of the cross of Christ and the peace that we have with God, because of Christ, it's because of that that we can rejoice in our sufferings. And as Orthodox Christians, we know that we are called to give thanks to God, not just for the good things in life, not just for the blessings. We are called to give thanks to God for our crosses as well. But all I would like to say this morning is that when we hear the Apostle Paul say, we rejoice in our sufferings, let us be very serious about the first word, we. We rejoice in our sufferings. We, the body of Christ, the messianic community of baptized believers in the sonship and divinity of Jesus, we together rejoice in our sufferings. Paul does not say I, Paul says we. You can certainly suffer alone. You can suffer alone. But you cannot suffer and rejoice at the same time and be alone. No person is strong enough to do so. But as the church, as those who are united to Christ, those of us who join our suffering to his suffering, then we can do so. It is possible. The love which we share, the peace that we have with God, the end of wrath in our own souls because of the surpassing love of Christ on the cross, these things make it so that this place, the church, is a place where indeed joy is always possible, even in the midst of suffering. Because this is where our Savior is. It's that simple. This is where he meets us every time we gather to celebrate the Eucharistic victory of God over his enemies. I cannot rejoice in my sufferings, but we can. So long as we are willing to gather and to love and to celebrate the love which we receive from Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And second, there is a word of comfort from our Savior as well, not just from Paul. We know that Christ does not promise, he does not promise that there will be no suffering. That would be a misreading of the words that Christ gives to his disciples. He doesn't promise that there will be no suffering. In fact, elsewhere in the gospel, if you read the whole thing, he promises the very opposite. We will be hated because of his name. And if we are hated, it's because he was hated first. Be that as it may, he does say the following. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, all that you need, will be given to you. And so there's that question. Okay, Lord, Where is this kingdom of God that I might seek it? Where is this kingdom that I might enter and receive what will carry me through? You're standing in it. You're standing in it. In our worship today, this day, we got out of our beds and we assembled here because the voice of the Father called to us. Here this day, it is the Lord who acts. It is we who respond. We hear the voice of the Lord and we become church. We experience the kingdom of God as profoundly as possible on this side of the resurrection. We are ministered to by Christ himself. We receive him intimately at his banquet table in the kingdom. This, brothers and sisters, is the kingdom of God. This is the place where the church shows herself to be what she is, the body of believers gathering together at the voice of Christ, our good shepherd, and following him into the kingdom as deeply as is possible. This is where we receive all that needs to be added, so long as we seek it. This is where we receive Christ himself. This is the place to which we bring our brokenness and our sufferings. This is the place where indeed we can say along with the Apostle Paul that we rejoice in our sufferings, that we glory in our tribulations. It is here that God demonstrates his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ gave himself up for us and for the life of the whole world. The faithful at Emmanuel Church, they understood all of this. And it gave them hearts full of good soil, just as they were discussing at Bible study on Wednesday evening. They had that root. They had that root, the love of Jesus Christ. And they did not fall away during times of tribulation and persecution. Instead, the final words of Christ, the very last words of Scripture read that evening, those words are no longer words that Christ speaks to them. They become words which Christ speaks about them. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 20. But those seeds that were thrown upon the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Brothers and sisters, may we receive Christ this day and do the same. Amen.